Curtain Radio.
Now, Thomas Gerage is the CEO, Senior Executive of the Shimazaki Management Group, a management consulting and advisory firm providing organisations with independent yet collaborative technology, cybersecurity and risk management services. In living by the principle to protect, Thomas and his team are fortunate to spend each day knowing that the work they do enhances organisations, giving them the conviction and confidence to push boundaries safely in an efficient, effective and future-proof way. And a warm welcome, Thomas. Thank you for joining us on the afternoon show.
Good afternoon. How are you going, Jamie?
Really well indeed. Now, Thomas, there seems to be a massive influx of hacking, unsolicited messaging to our phones and email accounts, unwanted phone calls and texts over the past few weeks. It seems to be increasing as we're getting closer to Christmas. Are you experiencing this yourself?
I am, actually. My mobile phone hasn't stopped with all the scam messages. Email, especially, we've had probably threefold influx on our emails at the moment. So yes, the silly season is here, and so is the silly season for hacking.
Now, where are the origins for this hacking and unsolicited messaging? Is it coming from within Australia, or is it definitively the stories we hear about? It's coming from Russia or India or Africa or other nations. Where's the origins of all this nonsense coming from?
The origins, it's very hard to pinpoint one particular place. It could be coming from anywhere around the world. But there's also instances of where databases of people's contacts have leaked to the internet, or there's even contact databases that have been sold as part of organizations' privacy policies. So it could be coming from anywhere.
But if it is a privacy issue, then why is it happening? Why are Australian companies doing this? Or is it just something that they think that they won't be held responsible for in the future?
I think at the moment, I think we've got to the point now where cybersecurity for organisations, I don't think it's being taken as seriously as it really should be. I mean, everyone has woken up to the fact that the Optus and the Medibank hacks have happened. And it has woken up a few people, but I don't think we've been taking it as seriously as, say, for example, work health and safety 20 years ago when people died for the legislation to be pushed harder.
Yeah, yeah. The moves at the moment, well, obviously, let's talk about what we originally were here to talk about. So I believe there are some changes being made to the Privacy Act. Can you please brief us on the changes and what we need to be aware of with the incumbent changes?
Yeah, so the Privacy Act changes are going to be changed for the better in some ways, so there'll be harsher penalties on directors of organisations and also the organisations themselves if there are data breaches that are unreported, and also if there is any negligence from a director's part on the part of those data breaches. So they're going to be raising the penalties, but at the same time, that's going to start looking at, so the insurance industry is going to start raising costs for those. Yeah, so the key thing around the privacy legislation is the raising of the penalties.
Right. Now, what sort of penalties are we talking about? It's not just going to be a slap on the wrist for a multi-million dollar organisation, is it?
No, so there's varied penalties depending on the criteria of the actual breach. So, for example, it could be a $10 million fine for an organisation. However, it could be a $10 million fine plus three times. If you've made money out of the data breach, it could be three times whatever revenue is earned through that, up to $500 million, depending on the severity of the breach. So it varies. So it's actually quite complicated how they're going to apply those fines to organisations.
When you say organisations, what size of organisations are we talking about? Does this travel all the way down to small businesses?
It never used to, but I believe it is going to actually be falling down onto small businesses now as well, because if the privacy legislation and the information commissioner doesn't fine you, as we've seen with Optus, there are going to be class actions taken against organisations now, and it only takes one class action and a successful one to start a myriad of them happening.
Okay, so what measures can we take to ensure our personal data, phones and computers are safe or safer in lieu of the fact that the Privacy Act has not been, you know, legislated yet? What can we do at the moment? What can we do to protect ourselves? Because at the moment, I think the deluge, everybody out there must be feeling the same thing. It's just overwhelming.
Absolutely. So I would be making sure that your systems and anything that you use has a good endpoint protection or an antivirus product. Two-factor authentication. These multi-factor authentications are very important now for all systems. I would make sure that you're using complex passwords. So don't use your traditional eight-character password. Don't use the name of your dog or the name of your kids as passwords. Make sure they're complex. And to use a password manager for your systems as well, so you don't have
to... Just explain what a password manager is, please, because at the moment, I honestly, if I have to change my password, I struggle. So I have a hard copy of that behind a cupboard door, you know, taped to the door, as well as I have it lodged in my phone if I do forget it or you know, don't gain access to the, you know, different things I need to get access to. So what is a management scheme?
Okay, so a password manager is a tool that sits on your machine, and it basically, every time you go to a website, it remembers the passwords for your website, and then you can use that on your phone and on your machine, depending on where you are. And what it does, it remembers the password, and then you can configure it with very complex passwords, like 26-character passwords that you don't actually have to remember. So when you go to the website, the password manager prompts you and says, I know about this website. Would you like to use this password?
Well, that sounds so much easier. I mean, honestly, I mean, my memory is getting that poor that I forget what colour underpants I'm wearing in the morning. Now, listen, you brought up something before about the fact that we need to make sure that we've got, you know, a security type of a purchase on top of what we're already getting when we buy our computers. So obviously what's coming from Microsoft and Apple is obviously not strong enough. You need some more cybersecurity protection, don't you?
Correct. So you would look at other products. There's a myriad of them in the market. McAfee, Norton. There's a whole bunch of them that are in the market. If you're a business, there are obviously ones that are business grade, which protect the systems in a different way, and they also protect the fleet of systems. But the individuals have got access to those as well in the in what they call a retail version of those products. But everyone's got access to them, and they're very cost effective these days.
Now, this brings me to the question. There are two major players in IT throughout the world, Microsoft and Apple. I'm sure there's others, but, you know, they're the two major players. Now, if they are selling their products to a large portion of the global population, should these companies be doing more to prevent cybercrime themselves? For example, is it possible that their products can be made to be immune to cybercriminal activity when you do purchase? Because at the moment, to me, it's like they sell you this product, but it's almost at risk from the moment you buy it from outside sources. What are your feelings on this?
So organisations like Microsoft and Apple are working very hard to build cybersecurity more into their operating systems. For example, Microsoft now have a product called Windows Defender. It is not the last line of defence for a system, but it is an antivirus product that is embedded within the Microsoft Windows operating system now, and it's gone through a lot of advances over the years, so it's quite good. And Apple are doing their part, not from an endpoint protection, but from other different things they do on their system to protect the web browser and other tools within their system. So they are advancing quite a bit, but I still think we've got a long way to go yet.
When you say they've got a long way to go, obviously it's not as good as getting a Norton or McAfee or whatever other alternatives there are. They're not as good as those products, are they?
Correct. You want something that's more specialised, that's from an organisation that all they are doing every day is cybersecurity. They're not building an operating system. They're just building a tool to protect an operating system. So the more specialised, the better.
Now, I've heard only of this recently, and I have no idea what it is, but what is cyber insurance and how does it protect your business or yourself? And is cyber insurance available for individuals?
So cyber insurance for your business is basically an insurance policy to help rebuild your systems and rebuild your reputation by using good public relations and all that and having it paid for on the proviso that you haven't been negligent as a director in the business. There are other insurances that help pay and cover fines if, again, you haven't been negligent. Cyber insurance just pays for the rebuilding of the system. From a personal perspective...
Please explain what rebuilding the system means.
Okay, so rebuilding all your computers so they can operate again, and rebuilding all your cloud systems and everything if they have been affected.
Because a lot of people are at home now that may not think they're a small business, but they are working from home, aren't they? So they probably may need to look into this sort of level of protection, because they might be, you know, producing documents that are you know, personal or important or of value to other people, which that information needs to be protected. So this is how much is cyber insurance? Is it dependent on the size of your business and how much you're potentially going to be what penalties you may be attracting from the new government legislation?
Correct. There's also other aspects to it on what level of risk. So, for example, if you're a doctor versus a builder versus a cake maker, the cyber insurance will be vastly different depending on the types of information you're storing and how susceptible or how much at risk you are of being attacked.
Okay. Now, is the Australian federal government doing enough to protect Australians from cybercrime? This is your, I'm only asking for your opinion. What more needs to be done? Because I just think at the moment it's just whatever they're doing just doesn't seem to be coping with the onslaught.
So, in personal opinion, I think it's best that they stop talking about it and stop advertising to the world what they're actually doing and start doing something about it. And start protecting people. What we need is seamless protection that we can't see. Because every time we look at it, that's where anxiety starts building up and a level of nervousness about our
information. Yeah, it breaks down confidence in the product, in your ability to communicate. And the thing is, if you do get attacked or you do become a victim of cybercrime, then it basically shuts you down. I mean, I've had instances, for example, I just think even the NBN is so unpredictably awkward to deal with it. I run a business from home, and on many occasions when the NBN has gone down in my area, I've lost literally 3 working days. And without, you know, I have to go in a hotspot. I have to, you know, do whatever I possibly can to keep the business going, which is frustrating. So it's bad enough that we've got, like, fragility. I would use the word fragility when it comes to the NBN. But if the government's not doing enough, it's almost like it's a double hit. And we are becoming so dependent on having access to the internet.
Correct. I mean, if we are, one of the issues with government is government are not, they're not a commercial entity. They don't commercialize. They're an entity that provides rules for businesses. And what it needs is we do need better customer service for one thing, and better communication with customers of the NBN and various other products that are out there. But one of the biggest things at the moment is all the noise that's being made is in generating a lot of anxiety. And this is one of the key things that has to be removed so people can get on with their business and not worry about when the next hack is going to happen and if it's going to be me or you, for example.
So what advice have you got now for those people out there that might be business owners and or individuals? What can they do? I mean, you mentioned before about passwords and so forth. Is there any other measures they can take to protect themselves?
Yep, there's other things in terms of getting education around this and getting some awareness around the cybersecurity. I mean, at our organisation, we run, for example, masterclasses for small businesses from time to time to help build awareness and help them understand what their obligations to protecting information are so they can become better suited for their clients and give the confidence to their clients that they are doing something about this cyber problem. And then from there, we talk about cyber insurance and various other things they need to take out. But to build an organization that's prepared to fight the attack and not just sit there and wait for something to happen.
Thank you so much, Thomas. It's been a pleasure talking to you. You're a wealth of information on this subject. I wish you the best for Christmas, and I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
And you too, and keep that Linda Ronstadt music coming, mate.
Oh, isn't she just wonderful? Well done.
Absolutely.
All the best, mate. Cheers.
All the best. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Captain Radio.